Kelly. I interviewed you a couple of years ago for Sports Collectors Digest.
Yes.
Can I ask you a couple of questions about something else? Do you have the time?
Sure. Well, how long are you going to be?
Maybe 5 minutes.
Okay. I've got someone coming in at supposedly at 2:30, but then it might be a couple minutes late.
Okay. Well, if they come in, tell me to hang up, and I'll hang up.
Okay.
First, to preface, since I've spoken to you, I've written a couple of baseball books, and now I'm trying for a third one. Jim Small, if you recall him with the Tigers, interviewed him. He suggested a book on the Bonus Baby era, of which he was one, and I'm trying it. I've talked to several of the Bonus Babies. You were around the Tigers. The Tigers were very active in the signing of these young guys, and you were around, and they were signing some. Can you give me your impression of the rule and of these boys that were coming in and what you thought of the whole situation in just a short few minutes?
Well, first of all, if you made more than X amount of dollars, wasn't that to put you in the bonus class?
Signing for more than $4,000
it was.
$4,000 at that time?
Right, the early days.
Well, the only thing it did, it really, personally, I didn't like the rule from the standpoint, you have a guy like these two guys I can think of quickly. You take a Jimmy Small.
Mm-hmm.
You take a Bob Miller. Did you talk to Bob Miller?
No, I've written him. I haven't gotten a reply yet.
Okay. You know, both pretty solid guys, but they're not mature enough to handle things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem you ran into. And to be put under the gun like they had to, then it was very difficult. And that's the thing. You could see some abilities, but the abilities needed to be, you know, get out and play a little, be exposed.
Right.
And they were not given that opportunity. Like, I can remember Bob Miller pitching, and in fact, I remember the guy that hit a catcher, Moss.
Les Moss?
Les Moss hit a line shot over his head. Didn't hit him, and he collapsed on the mound.
Oh, my.
So you're going, wow. And I remember Spike Briggs getting all excited and going to go out there, and the trainer saying, hey, Spike, just stay back here and forget it. You know? And Bob's a nice kid, and he's done very well in business out of Chicago.
Right.
And Jimmy has matured very nicely, and I think he lives up in Mecosta, Michigan.
Yeah, he said his biggest problem, he lived at home, he had to be home by 9 o'clock at night, and then 3 days later he was in New York.
Exactly.
And people had putting their hand out for tips, and he didn't know what to do.
Well, see, that's the whole thing. The adjustment is, you just can't, you know, kids are not ready for that. They're absolutely not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd have given Jimmy, say, a couple years in the minors or 3 years in the minors and grow up a little bit with the abilities that he had, I'm sure he would have probably become a very fine big league ball player.
He feels that way, too.
Well, I think so. And then Miller the same way. Here's a kid's got a good arm, but he's just not really ready. And that's why that thing wasn't very good.
You had another young man named Kaline.
Kaline?
Yeah.
Well, Kaline really wasn't ready. You know, he was a very fortunate guy from this standpoint. Now, he's a very quieted person. He came out of Baltimore. Remember when he joined us in Philadelphia? And we're waiting out in the bus, and ball players are agitators. And they said, come on, Bussy, let's go. What are you holding up for? Well, what had happened is Ed Cantalinas had brought him over from Baltimore, checked into Warwick Hotel. He got on that bus and had to walk from the front to the back. And here's a kid that very quiet, shy, and so on. And he wasn't strong enough to hit a ball, probably a ground ball to the second baseman or shortstop and a pop-up. And that's the way it was for him. He just physically wasn't ready.
Uh-huh.
Well, then in 54, Hutch was the manager, and Hutch let him play and put him in the lineup, figuring the team is going no place. And so that's the year that made him. He played, and I forget how many games he played in, but he played in a flock.
Yeah.
And really wasn't ready to perform, to be perfectly honest with you.
Hit about 260, I think.
This would be 50, let me see, this would be 50, this would be 54.
Right.
Okay. And then the next year he won the batting title.
Mm-hmm.
But what had happened to him was that he got a chance to develop his skills. And then he was a little bit shy and back and that, but he had enough confidence in himself and got exposed, and he wouldn't be run off the deep path someplace. He wouldn't ever say much. And so he was a very fortunate guy, but he probably, again, his first year or maybe even his second should have been playing minor league baseball.
So he was
exposed.
He was in the right place at the right time, wasn't he?
Exactly. Otherwise, you know, if he had had to sit and not be exposed like he was in 54, that's what made him as a big league ball player.
Mm-hmm.
Because then he playing every day and every day and every day, and then finally got a little more strength and got confidence. And I think he ended up hitting about 278 or 279 that year or something on that order.
276 it is, yeah.
Okay. And so now, by golly, next year he comes and it's not, he's a veteran now. He's played X amount of games.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like, and he could always, he had those qualities as an outfielder. You know, he had great touch and going after the fly ball, and he'd always had that fine arm, and he just needed to gain a little maturity or strength.
In the time you were there, in the time these boys came in, there were others, there were Reno Bertoria, Jim Brady, Steve Burrows, George Thomas. Now, without saying anything bad about anybody, and I don't want that, but were these boys, for the most part, had they had the year or two of maturity, were they big league ball players?
Oh, definitely. Bertoia, for sure. See, he was a naive-type youngster out of Windsor, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
He had started the University of Michigan. Had he stayed at Michigan and gone through, would have been a tremendous help for him.
Mm-hmm.
Just to grow up and mature, because he could run, he had strength, he had all the qualities to be a quality big league ball player. Not an average, but a quality one. No, I think definitely. Now, the other one you were talking about was George Thomas?
George Thomas, Steve Burrows, Jim Brady.
That George? Or the pitcher?
George Thomas, the outfielder.
Yeah. Well, the same thing with him, except he had had a little experience in college. But the biggest thing is the adjustment of coming, like Small mentioned to you earlier. Here he comes, you know, he's in at 9 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden he's in the big city in his eyes, and what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the adjustment. And that's where so many guys didn't make it, just because of that.
Okay, so without putting words in your mouth, I don't want to, but the scouting, the background of these boys, they were legitimate prospects, mm-hmm. that they blew it by sitting 2 years and doing nothing. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
And then K-Line was the exception, but he didn't sit his second year.
He is the only one, I think, cut the list. I think Billy O'Dell and K-Line were the only two who actually stepped in and contributed before their bonus time was up. The others did later on down the road. But okay, Don Franks, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't take away from your appointment.
Does that answer everything?
I think so. I just want the opinion of someone who was there other than the boys themselves. I'm going to talk to you and three or four other guys that I've spoken with about this.
Fine, Brent.
Thank you, Don.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.